the blessings of the Lord and we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Kritai. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, thy compassion and mindfulness that proves this path, thy compassion and awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to settle lives or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct jhana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi, tatyampi, saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are
fears and suffering. If anything, suffering is more important than anything, we will end in suffering. If anything, suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
A reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What should we look at this morning?
I've been watching the attention and how it kind of gets taken, and specifically around, just this awareness of someone can be doing, quote, practice,
mm-hmm.
and doing commitments,
mm-hmm.
and maintaining a conversation with ego at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like ego, like, yeah, that's fine. You can live in a privileged environment. You can do practice as long as we're maintaining a relationship.
Uh-huh. So as long as it has the attention, it will allow you to a certain extent to do these things that you use, quote, marks for practice.
So I had a couple of examples. I make this recording for myself each night to play as soon as I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to assist the person who's waking up out of, 6 to 7 hours of likely unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of just good morning and encouragement and enthusiasm and some concrete directions. Okay, here's the first thing to do, here's the second thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I often, here's some of the things we're working on in practice right now, or a reading that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been noticing about that is, so I play it, and I'm getting up, and I'm just catching, like, every third or fourth, I'm missing a bunch of things.
As you're listening to it, you're not hearing all of it.
Yeah.
The attention is getting pulled somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. So the attention of the recording is to keep my attention focused.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, ego is kind of like, yeah, I'm listening. Anyway, it's sort of like, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I appreciate that. That's good. Okay, anyway, back to
what I'm really doing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been really focusing, like, can I do what I'm doing and keep in a larger awareness what the recording's saying?
Uh-huh.
And then I just sort of stumbled into something. So last night I was like, well, what do we want to put on the morning recording? It's like, well, how about we read something out of the What Universe Are You Creating? A really excellent recording and listening book. And I just drew a card. It was intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading it. And then towards the end, there's actually like a little guided imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, and actually do this.
You said that in the
book.
So do this.
So I actually just didn't even get out of bed, and I'm listening to it,
mm-hmm.
and it was awesome, because there wasn't anything, I just gave all my attention to the guided imagery, and then what was wonderful about that is then I got to the place of the energy.
Yeah.
I could feel there was, like, there's nothing left over for the voices.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's it.
Yes.
You know, that's what I think, you know, what's helpful to be always practicing for, mm-hmm. being in the energy. And then I did that, and then there was a recording assignment, and I got to watch in transition to doing listening to guided imagery, and then going and getting the recorder, mm-hmm. started to go back into sure. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's always about something that's not here.
Yeah, so even in those little tiny transitions, yeah. the attention starts to get pulled away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I listened to, then I made the recording about my experience of that, mm-hmm. and you, back in the energy, and
yeah.
not getting anything over to anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you listened to that when I got up, and in that transition I noticed again, trying to talk to me about whatever.
Yeah.
And then I put the earbuds in, and back here to that energy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I was just so grateful for that, because it's amazing to live here and to be walking around, and even like in transitions, counting the breath, but still, I'm maintaining ego.
Well, I think if I'm tracking what you're saying, the extraordinary piece of it is that it's all happening within awareness,
uh-huh.
at least the way you're describing it. Because, and that, of course, that's what we're doing, right? Is that the attention gets pulled away and we come back. Our intention is to stay here, to always be here. And so, to me at least, in what you described, that place of making commitments it creates that container of awareness within which we can see all of that you're describing going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that commitment to keep the commitment no matter what, and to realize that the whole thing is a workshop to see exactly what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Because at a finer and finer level, you're getting to see those more and more subtle places of how the attention gets pulled up, and it sounds like, from what you're describing, how you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
Right? That sort of, well, yeah, got it, that's good, but let me just go off and do, but here is where you want to be.
Yeah.
And you're getting to see that at more and more subtle levels.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing. So I'm going to count that subtle and more subtle levels, and I appreciate that acknowledgement of I want to be here.
Yeah.
You know, and just I guess an awareness of, just because I say I'm deep, okay, so I'm going to count the breath between leaving the dining hall and going to use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then what will be happening is, I think I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I think maybe what happens is it starts to talk to me about counting the breath, mm-hmm. is the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I may even be going, you know, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. But if I stop, or when I stop,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, I'm maintaining that conversation again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it had me believing, no, you're counting the breath in your transition.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, and again, in what you describe, what's so amazing about it is, if we keep that attitude of mind that it's all training, and it's all just going perfectly, then when we realize, okay, my intention is to count the breath on the mm-hmm. way to the, and then I realize, oh, gotcha, right back here.
Yeah.
Right? We don't even really need to look, figure out, have I not been?
Yeah.
But it's just right here, fresh start. Here we go.
Exactly, and I appreciate that too, because I think that's what's been arising, kind of a fascination.
Mm-hmm.
Like just this morning, in doing the daily recollection, I woke up in the practice of loving kindness.
Mm.
And it's like, I think I just missed the last 8 great prohibitive precepts. Yet I'm aware that the voice was saying the precepts. I'm pretty sure that was going on. But I was maintaining a me.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
I can actually say the words of this thing that's holy, you know,
mm-hmm.
but not be present to the holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I guess it is really fun to think, oh, I am saying hi to the daily recollection this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm missing parts, and how, wow, you know. Yeah.
And to have, if I'm following what you're saying, to have that, there's almost a humility in it.
Yes,
and to have that humility be what fuels the realization that what I want is to be here, and use that to help me be here.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay.
This is what I was seeing, that was very helpful, and what I was, because it happens to me a lot. And what I was seeing for me is, so attention comes back, and there's this awareness of, I was in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conversation starts about how I was in a conversation. And I lose the coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's another layer of conversation that wants to take away the fact that I saw it.
Yes.
And that conversation is the one that often isn't in awareness.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. It just, because it has, again, it has to get more and more subtle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's bamboozled. Needs to get more subtle. How do we pay closer and closer attention?
Yes.
But what we keep doing, I mean, what you're describing is then we keep stepping back into the bigger place and then see it. And then, yeah.
And what I appreciated about the reflection was the reminder that, well, yeah, of course that happens.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's all just what we're doing.
Yes.
And it, there's, it's, so what I've seen is there's still that, that capacity of conditioning to call attention to how we're essentially feeling.
Exactly.
And in fact, what just happened was a success.
Yes. Well put.
And catch that that's about to be stolen from us again is just another level of practice.
Yes. And that when we see that and we succeed, there's success. Right? And we could always live in the process of success because truly, gosh, that's brilliant what you're saying, really, because the only way we would realize that we're in a process of failure is from a place of awareness, which is a success.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So there, we could always live in a process of success.
Right.
Thank you. So I don't know if this is what everybody else is saying, but the thing I often look at when I'm saying the daily recollection and then I leave, I actually
say the daily recollection and then you leave.
Yeah, but I'm still saying the word.
Got it.
You know, is that I actually think that's God. I think it's life doing it and then I leave. And that ego takes credit for saying it. That there's something, because when when I went on this session one time and had this huge enlightenment that I'm not even really hardly walking myself, because I was doing walking meditation. And I was present, this was a present moment and aware, but just aware that life is living me all the time and ego takes credit for it and makes a story out of it.
That's interesting.
And so it starts criticizing me or saying I did a good job, one or the other, but making meaning out of things. And so often for me, the thing I love about the daily recollection is that somebody is here present saying it. Even if I'm not,
that's fun.
You know, I don't know if it's true actually, and I do stumble on words and that kind of thing. But sometimes it's reassuring that ego, you know, that I leave and I come back and I leave and I come back, but something that's always there is there.
It's always there.
Yeah.
You know, it brings to mind that the one we refer to often of that poster of the footsteps in the sand, two sets of footsteps, and then there's only one, and the sense of, God, why did you leave me in my hardest hour, you know, to God or whoever you want to talk about that with, and then the punchline is, I was carrying you, and I just got that sense as you were saying that, so the daily recollection is being fed. The opportunity we have is to get to delight in being present with it, which doesn't always happen. But it's being said regardless. Kind of that sense that center, presence, is always there. And the way you put it is, it's always living up.
And the thing that I look at taking it, you know, into life is that when I have that attitude in life, then there's just curiosity. There's not so much criticism and self-hate.
Yeah.
There's just And almost like no way to fail.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which of course is what we're learning here, you know, there's nothing wrong. And so, but out there, they're sort of like, oh, I shouldn't have, and if I only, and ego, of course, uses spiritual practice. Well, if I'd been present,
right,
I would have said that more skillfully. Well, probably not. I did some pretty unskillful things being present, you know. Without doubt.
Well, I mean, could we even use the word unskillful, really?
Right, well, I don't
know. Would those terms even apply?
Right, yeah, that's right.
Because there's nothing wrong. And it truly is all a workshop. Everything to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and then suffering, there truly are no mistakes.
I heard somebody say the other day, well, I don't know what I was saying, but the person said to me, well, you just have to learn, see one more time how you don't want to do it, or something like that, you know. So I was probably beating myself up or something. And
or you're being beaten.
Being beaten, right, right. Because if I'm present, then I would have seen, oh, that's, you know, then you see it, and I don't know. I mean, it doesn't mean, anyway, I don't want to get into philosophy. It's just that it's a relief to know that if we just sit on the cushion and say the words, and that's all we're kind of required to do.
Yes, and if we're doing that, which we are, then, and we're, that's held in awareness, then we get to see all the things that people are talking about this morning. You get to see how the attention gets pulled off, you know, what it gets pulled off to. You get to train to bring it back here. You get to realize that that next layer of discussing, well, you know, you should, why did you go off again? But that's not helpful. I mean, you just get to see all of that and to train with all of it. Yeah.
Yes. Had a couple of fascinating experiences around my breathing, and especially breathing in meditation. Uh-huh. And yesterday, at one of the sets, probably the afternoon set, I was waiting for the first bell to ring, and noticed that my breathing went very deep and very slow, and in the out breath, it all kind of, you know, left. But left me feeling like whole. Then I could deeply breathe again, and then let go. And I said, somebody said, now that's the way it's got to be when we're meditating. So it was like the practice run, you know. And noticing that the practice run was just perfect.
Perfect. Oh, it should be.
That's the way it's supposed to be. As soon as the bell rang, I forgot how to breathe. And it was all about control.
Yeah, it is.
First of all, I doesn't know how to breathe anyway.
Right.
Never did. You know, life breathes.
Right.
That's who's doing the breathing.
Exactly.
And when I'm not in that control, you know, trying to make it be a certain way, get down there, now come back, and not, no, it's got to be slower now. All of that junk that gets in there is conditioning, trying to breathe so that I'm not breathing.
Boy, it is very related to our last conversation.
Right.
And that place where to realize life is breathing. Life is breathing.
Right. But it's still, throughout the rest of the whole meditation, it's that same kind of experience. So I haven't gotten to a place to let go of the control and let life come back in.
Well,
and
it's
really again.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because if it truly is all, you know, how do we say it, happening perfectly, exactly as it needs to, all of those things, then even that just gets to be the workshop, right? We just simply notice. Because exactly as you point at, what conditioned mind wants to do is to get us to a place of, okay, well, right, I mean, this is all right, but it's not that good, and pretty soon we're going to let go of control, and then we're going to get to the place where life is breathing, and, right, it's so subtle, those places that it takes us to of, yeah, nothing wrong, but just a little something that, you know, we'll work on it.
You know, and as I'm working with that.
Yeah, you're over in the air working with that.
Yeah, I feel just the sensations of, you know, it's just that icky spot, you know, that icky place.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the way the breathing is kind of helter-skelter. It's not, there's no flow to it. It's jagged, know, all that sort of thing. And so it's all going on within ego.
Well, and if you can see why one of the very first instructions when we learn meditation is that the breath is however the breath is. So the only instruction, right, is to breathe in, breathe out. At the bottom of the exhalation, we count one. Mm-hmm. Breathe in, breathe out. At the bottom of the exhalation, we count two, and so on. And if it's a deep breath, we notice that. If it's a shallow breath, we notice that, right? That there's nothing in there about, now make sure ego's not breathing, and make sure it's deep, right? It's just simply counting the breath. So it really, it's a very compassionate structure. Because as you point at, everything, you know, all the processes that happen in our lives, hopefully, are going to happen in meditation so that we get a chance to see it. And that simple structure of just the direction of counting at the bottom of the exhalation, 1 to 10, 1 to 10, the tension gets pulled off, coming back to 1, gives us a very compassionate place to put our attention as all of those things go on.
One of the forms that self-hate takes for me is that I feel that if whatever I'm doing, whether it's brushing my teeth or getting ready to leave my hermitage now, if I'm not in some amount of discomfort, ideally pain, I'm not doing it right.
Wow.
So I carry this, you know, a lot, and I got some advice this week about that cleaning that I didn't necessarily have to push very hard on the sponge, and I didn't like that advice at all, because what kicked up for me in that moment was this person is making excuses why they don't want to actually do the job right. That's what the voice immediately said. You know, it's too bad that they've got wrist problems or whatever it is, but that's not my problem. I do the right job. To protect the whole you have to be uncomfortable thing.
It's protecting that identity, was your sense of it. Is that what you're saying?
I think, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was like that thing had to be protected, so it became somebody else's
problem. That person's problem.
Okay. Absolutely. So one thing I worked with during working meditation this week was checking in with the breath has always been kind of loaded for me, because then I get obsessive about whether I'm breathing the right way.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I found there was this other technique I could use, which was relaxing the muscles around my eyes, because that was just much more one-dimensional. I could just relax. And I found that when I did that, that voice that said you have to be uncomfortable, you have to go faster and push harder until it hurts, it just kind of toned down. And I just was able to do it. And a really surprising place that this showed up for me in terms of being helpful was around eating, because I've had problems overeating for a very long time. I mean, eating and it was, for me, eating is always like pushing the accelerator and the brake at the same time, where it's like there's a part of me that just wants to like gorge, and then like until it hurts, until I'm uncomfortable, that's my cue. And until I'm there, I have to keep eating. And then there's another part of me that wants to not do that and has to be very disciplined and has to lock in on, like, well, you can't eat that and you have to eat exactly this. And so it's just this constant eating is a very loaded thing for me. Yeah. So I brought this relaxed eyes to my eating. And I found I could stop eating before I was uncomfortable. It was an interesting experience to have.
Yeah. Well, that's a, it sounds like a really big awareness to have, to realize that a form that self-hate takes is that if you're not in some level of at least discomfort, but preferably pain, then you're not doing it right, and we suggest not being the right person and all the things that go with that. And so to realize that and to be able to be in a place of questioning it, which is really the base of what awareness practice is. And I think a lot of people go through their whole lives never having that, what can seem like a very simple awareness, but it's so profound to be able to see a process like that, that goes completely unquestioned.
Completely unquestioned for years. And again, it's not just, working meditation is a nice place to look at it, but it's not just in working meditation. I mean, it's in eating. Yeah. Again, brushing my teeth. I think I just mashed the toothbrush into my teeth because, like, you're not doing, you have to go faster. It's like this, and when it starts to hurt, then I'm like, that's it. Yeah. You're like, how is that it? How is that you're hurting your mouth?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely unquestioned, exactly like you say.
Wow, that is really big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a recording of listening practice?
I do. I'm developing it, yeah.
Excellent. Because it just occurs to me that, first of all, recording some of those awarenesses will be so huge.
Mm.
You know, what you see about it. And, you know, even that, are you familiar with kind of the moving to the place of the mentor in the recording? Have you done some of that?
I am familiar, but not skilled.
Okay, great. Well, that, I'm sure, a lot of people put themselves in that same category. And I would say always, you know, a deepening practice for all of us. But it just occurs to me that I predict when you say that, how can that be it? That you're going to a place of compassion.
Mm.
Right? You're moving to a place of, really? This guy is going to live in a life where in order to brush his teeth properly, it has to hurt? You know, no. And so both places, to use the recording practice as a way to really outline some of those awarenesses, especially while it's so fresh for you and it's so here, and to be able to move to that place of compassion for the guy who's in that life experience, and to offer him anything that occurs to you from that place of what else is possible for him? How do you want to support him and continuing to remember that? Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're like the rest of us, what's going to happen is we're sitting here on this Sunday morning and talking about it's all very clear. Well, in a very short period of time, right, you're going to be back in a situation where those voices are going to be at you. And they're going to be doing the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the recording to go back to listen to in the middle of that is very, very powerful.
That sounds like a good idea. So that would be, I mean, making a recording of how I experienced it directly and then making a recording of, like, channeling the mentor as a separate recording. Is that what you're proposing?
Yes. Okay. And there are a number of particulars around how that can work, and we can assist you with getting the how-tos, how that works. But yes, exactly so. That really both places. Because, of course, listening, this is my experience. When I'm in the middle of one of those places that feels so very real, right? It's just so who I am and how you know, what is so and what is true. To be able to listen in my own voice to myself saying, you know, when I've seen about this process of brushing my teeth really hard, it's completely unnecessary. It's not kind, it's not true. And to be in the middle of the process and hear myself saying that can be such a huge revelation. Wow, oh, that's right. I remember that. I remember that awareness. And also that encouraging sense of, you know, we don't have to do that. You know, there's another, let's practice relaxing around our eyes. Let, you know, someone who's there with you through it, who can assist you, who loves you, who doesn't want that, who doesn't believe that you need to be in pain in order to be the right person.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Cameron.
When we were talking about reciting the daily recollection that was coming up, what a great avenue for seeing how the difference between being in life and being in conditioning.
Yeah.
Because there's like 9 minutes worth of words in that presentation. I mean, that's a lot. I've never counted the number of words, but it's really a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when after saying it for a number of years, it gets in there, and or else it's in life, and the person can refer to it or something. And what I have noted for a long time is that if I am just going along. So what ego wants to do is look at him a little bit, you know, what's going to be the next, you know?
Deadly, isn't it?
Yeah, so the where we are right now is the metaphor, because that's life. That's where life is, right now.
That's exactly so.
But if I leave life here on this stanza and look what's next, you know, because I'm afraid I'm not going to remember.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen usually when I'm at home or here like this, but if I'm leading in front of a group, oh dear, that's where it gets dangerous. And it's just so perfect because every time, you know, either to look for the next stanza or to some thought about, you know, what's for lunch today or something, I lose where I am.
Yeah.
Or I've left where I am, where it is, where life is.
Yeah.
And so it's just such a perfect example to see that I don't know what the next word is. If you were to ask me, I wouldn't know, but I open my mouth and it comes out.
Yeah.
If I'm present.
Yeah.
And it seems like just a perfect metaphor for life, because it just seems to work the same way.
Yeah.
Whenever the head gets involved and go ahead with some kind of future thinking or dwelling on the past, the present gets lost.
It gets completely lost.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what you're describing basically is what we were talking about earlier, that place of life is saying the daily recollection.
Yeah.
And then when conditioning comes in to try to say the daily recollection, trouble. Just like when conditioning tries to breathe.
Yeah.
Right? That's when we start stuttering and, you know, coughing and all those things, right?
Yeah.
And how incredibly perfect and what broad application. But of course, when is it going to talk us into that process of looking ahead when we're the one leading it?
Yeah.
Perfect.
When it's going to be the most.
The stakes are highest.
Yeah.
So it's just like we, you know, we often hear at practice, we get the encouragement that, of course, yes, oh, that's fine. So I'll go and go to practice being here. But not when it comes to the big things in life, right? Not when, you know, whatever, money, kids, health, you know, sitting on the cushion and not needing to not make mistakes. Well, then we need to look for conditioning.
Right.
Well, now we've got to put conditioning in charge of the daily recollection.
That's
some bad advice. That's some bad advice. And then to what's going to happen, of course, as I look ahead at what the next thing is, which is not what's happening here, is I falter. I can't remember. I don't know because I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good daily exercise for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you say, it goes on for 9 minutes. So
yeah, not a play of chances.
And that's why I bring.
So I've been exploring my communication style.
Very good. Anyone else? We're doing the email class and communication.
Okay, the current assignment. And it's revealed a lot of unexamined beliefs and assumptions that I just no idea existed. It's been truly fascinating. And so far, I don't know, what's dropped in is the communication style is nice and polite. And that's kind of
nice and polite.
Right. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the guise of most of my communication, be it verbal, be it written, even be it kind of body language, posturing.
Sure.
I was looking at all aspects, and I was just like, where did that come from? And it seems kind of benign. It seems like fun. Sure. That would be an okay communication style.
Why
doesn't it like those? I wouldn't want it, as opposed to rude and offensive.
Right.
See, I have a rude and offensive communication style, which I don't feel I do, but the nice and polite still feels like it's maintaining an identity.
Yeah. Again, really big to see, isn't it?
Huge to see. So I was doing some recordings about it, and I was kind of backtracking, seeing where was the conditioning that would create such a structure. And it really took me back to a really, really young person. And I got to talk to that young person. And in his experience, it was a survival strategy. If he was nice and polite, he would many oftentimes not be punished.
and not get the wrath of my family of origin as a young person trying to make his way as a 3, 4, 5 year old. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, so kind of tracing it back and realizing that it may have had an origin at a very, very young age.
Yeah.
And as with, you know, all survival systems like that, that get created when, you know, way before we have any ability to say, gosh, is this really going to work? Is this a good idea? Is this serving me, really?
Yeah.
That it gets put into place. And then, as you say, completely unconsciously, it's held in place for years without often, you know, getting to run into something that mirrors it, which is, again, a great gift of awareness practice, is that's what it's doing for us, is it's putting things up to mirror the invisible drivers that are back there driving us that we don't realize, we don't see them, especially one that's, quote, good.
Right.
It's nice and polite.
Nice and polite. It could be characterized as good.
Yeah.
Or favorable or agreeable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not the same as free or, you know, not causing suffering. Right.
Right. Yeah. Because some of the prompts in the Yuma prompts were, how does that identity structure, however, present itself? How does it get in the way of communicating authentically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I saw, and I was even just writing the notes of the guest master, and I kind of stood back and took a second to look at that and looked at, oh, that's interesting. There it is.
Uh-huh.
It even reared itself right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that the conditioned system has, there's illusion of control, so it has to control the environment to survive, and in that control there's an agenda of getting needs met, because that very young person, his needs were met by nice and polite, and still, as this adult, this older person, believes that control things through communication.
Yeah, so believes he can control
things. He believes he can control things, but the way he communicates. And he believes that there's an element of safety by maintaining that belief.
And so there, you said there's an agenda that gets created in that.
Yes.
And I'm guessing by seeing all of that, what you're realizing is that that's a giant bamboozle.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That those things are going to get what Todd truly wants.
Exactly.
Or take you to the place where you actually want to live.
Right. Yeah. Two things that's on that is where I want to live, and B, communicating from an authentic place of just presenting information with clarity, without having it shrouded in a egocentric agenda, conditioned, premise.
Yes.
Yeah, because I just see it. It's not straight. It's not clear.
Right.
It's not straightforward.
No.
It's all flowery. It's all nice and quiet.
Yes. And if what we want is to be here, then there is no agenda.
Right.
Right? So there would be no reason to communicate anything other than just the information.
Yeah.
And whatever comes out of the information is what I want. Because all I want is to be here.
Exactly. And even realize we're going to there.
Going up to the
conditioning to phrase communication. It was in control of the communication.
Uh-huh.
So it was just being, you know, found through the scene.
Yes, perfect. So it's in control of the communication, which is essentially it's in control of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Good to see, huh?
Big to see.
Yeah.
Really big to see. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm having fun with a workshop at the moment where it's like a line from the daily recollection is the workshop, and it's the merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings.
Okay.
And just asking that, like, what is it? What? And recording about it, recording about what I'm seeing and like that. And I had an opportunity to see some like level of ego going on around that, and a whole load of stuff on top of it through some communication where I sent a process text and then I read it back and it was like, oh, it just felt all bleh, you know,
yeah,
like
your own, the process text that you sent felt all bleh.
Yeah, it was like something like detecting something not authentic in that, you know, it was like a bleh. And what I saw was there'd been this, you know, thing that was here in my life to do, mm-hmm. that life was asking me to do. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge lot of resistance to it, like, you know, ego screaming, no. And it was just, all right, and sat down and did it. And then what I got to see was there was like this conditioned habit to look around for the, I've said yes, where's my reward, acknowledgement, you know, like that?
Uh-huh.
Where's my well done?
Uh-huh.
Where's my bravo? I said yes.
That was my part. Ego really didn't want to do it. I sat down and did it anyway. And so where's my reward?
Yeah, where's my...
Good job.
And so in the workshop of looking at the merit for all good acts I do freely offered to all beings, there was that, oh, that's not that. That's not the merit for all good acts I do freely offered to all beings. That's, you know, the merit for all good acts. I just did a good act.
Right.
Where's the merit for me?
Exactly.
Where's
merit
the
good acts I do reap.
Right, where are all the beings turning around going, that was a really good act. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It was a really good act, wasn't it? But then what happens is I worked it out. Oh, but I do some good acts, but I also do some really bad acts. Oh, no. Which one am I? Am I the...
That's a big clue, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and now I have to obsess about myself. And which one am I? The good act doing person, or am I the bad act doing? Oh, no, I really have to agonize over that.
Yeah, and so funny enough, look at that. In both cases, I'm the subject of the whole show.
So it was like getting to see that it, let's see. So in that condition process that I got to see, there's an I saying yes, and then the I looks around for it, for reward, acknowledgement, like that. And there was just like, in seeing all of that, that feeling of where something shifts and you get to feel something else, you get to feel a different something.
Hard to put words to. You get to feel something else.
And it was like, that yes is life saying, that yes is life saying yes,
yeah.
Not that I saying yes.
Yeah.
And that the saying yes is the receiving of that yes.
Uh-huh.
And that,
Yeah, well, it's very much the theme this morning, isn't
right.
it?
Right? Yeah.
Because there's a yes. There's a willingness to sit down.
Yeah.
And possibly one beat behind that, there's, yes, I'll do this. Okay. And the clue that the I has attempted to come in to claim that yes is then, where's my reward?
Yeah.
But it sounds like, if I'm following what you're saying, what you got to see was the quote reward is the actual, it's life's yes. And we get to receive that through the actual, through doing it, whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Just completely being that
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
That is the quote reward.
Yeah. It's like another way of saying something that we often say, like, we get what we do, or we're rewarded
perfect.
By what we do, not because of it. And
perfect.
Just truly feeling it's all process.
Yeah.
It's all not what, but how. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the places I practice that's so lovely is when there is just that sense of, there's just something, can't see it, that's often a clue, very likely I've left process.
Yes.
Right? And what is the process?
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be anything. It's a process of love. It's a process of surrender. It's a process of receiving. It's about whatever it is that's here in this moment to bring us back to receiving the process.
Yeah. Yeah, to bring us back to receiving the process. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was seeing that like around, there was some time yesterday evening that it was after the schedule, and there was that, I noticed the habit to look to what do I want to do? And
that's such a big clue right there, isn't it? What do I want to do?
And so it could be even like, it couldn't even have a practice framework of like, what would take care of the human, but it's like, it's still from a what do I want to do, like the merit, I want to do a good act, all good acts I want to enjoy.
Yeah.
And so it was just that shift of, okay, life make me a channel of whatever's needed, what is the, you know, and just, you know, sitting still and waiting for the information. Mm-hmm. And just like, it's like that thing that can come up of like, I don't want to do that with this time, like there's this time, but not, that's not a thing that I want to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And instead that process place of, I'm in the process of joy, whatever's needed.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
Just that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, that willingness to just sit and basically let life, right? Let life. Okay, life, I'm here. I'm ready. And one of the things I love to play with in that place is, so what do I want to do?
Yeah.
You know, that's so going to be a process of looking to condition mind,
yeah.
Right? To figure it out, to get just the right thing, whatever our deal is, right? That's
yeah.
what we'll do there.
Yeah.
And to facilitate a process for ourselves
mm-hmm.
of what's really under there. Because there always is going to be something authentic. Well, I want to be joyful.
Yeah.
I want to be, great, well, let's start there.
Exactly.
And then whatever comes from that, there, we already have what we want. Rebecca.
I had an experience yesterday that seems kind of in line with what people are talking about that I was looking at. And so I had a task that required a lot of walking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out at the West End, and as I was walking back to take care of the next phase of the task, they dropped in the wire cutters.
And
I got about just no more than 10 feet, and I realized, you know, that information was saying I'd left the wire cutters back in the, on the ground.
It's still the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wire cutters.
and if I hadn't gotten walking, if I walked off without those wire cutters, it would have been like miles of extra walking. And so I went back, and sure enough, they were right there where I had left them, and I picked them up. So what I was seeing about that was the immense. It went beyond gratitude of that moment. So it was this feeling of just being so enveloped in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was recording that night and talking with the mentor about that and just expressing just the gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was, and even then at the time I saw bits of this. So it's like, you know how we talk about things start to cycle back. So
mm-hmm.
there's the experience of realizing you forgot something and you're like, dang it, you know, turn around
right.
And walk back.
10 steps extra.
Oh. Yeah. And then there's the experience of, oh, thank you. And walking back and giving it.
Yeah.
And then there's the experience of
yeah.
just being enveloped.
Yeah.
Like I saw in that moment that it's just impossible to put into words, but it was a sense of what was said earlier, that life is saying today's reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Life is doing everything.
Yeah.
Life is, and life is so caring for this human. And for the projects around the property,
yeah.
And for the whole wide world,
yeah.
Drawing those
yeah.
concentric circles
wider and bigger. Yeah.
That everything in that moment of going, of letting me know the information that the wire cutters were forgotten,
yeah.
was taking care of the whole wide world.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh. In a way that. I project, no one else
has
would get.
Well, there are a few hundred people, but they're not going to do it.
It's so,
yeah.
It's so powerful.
Yeah. Well, the merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings and saving all sentient beings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And just the, you know, as you're talking, just the gratitude, I project a piece of it, certainly is for me, of, wow, and I get to actually be present for it.
Mm-hmm.
To have the training be so deep that not only do I hear the prompt, wire cutters,
mm-hmm.
but as you say, then I feel the gratitude,
mm-hmm.
which isn't necessarily always the experience,
right.
And then the gratitude for being able to experience the gratitude and see how big that one seemingly tiny thing is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's a huge gift to live in that big of a place.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's so weird. Is that part of an expression of a white hole as opposed to a black hole? it's not something that sucks down, oh, wow. Nothing, but it's like it expands up and and there was something else that was said in the recording exercise last night that was such a good reminder for me, which was that the ego impulses that come in and try to control it or to make that it's ego trying to do practice, which is what I think Scott started us off with, which is, okay, that was great.
From now on.
I'm going to always do it so that I can enact that control, not worry about that not fall for it.
Yes. That was well put. Mm-hmm. Not worry about it and not fall for it. That's the middle way, isn't it? Yeah. Because I got this image as you were talking. So the energy is huge in that, right? The white hole. Mm-hmm. And how is ego going to just quietly, without you noticing, right? That's a difficult place for conditioning because the awareness is huge in that. So just quietly starts to take control, start moving it back towards the black hole.
Mm-hmm. Right? Which is why I use this practice language so much, because that's the only hope it has for me to not notice it.
Yeah.
You know, I think at this point in my life, well, not only hope, but it's from one of those big techniques to try to capture it in practice language. But yes, that process. And that's why, I guess, I'm pretty sure, the whole recording and listening, you know, the mentor saying that in the way that it was said, because you had a recording exercise last night, was expanding that. It's like cluing me in to that process that you just laid out.
Yeah.
So they're doing that.
Yeah. That's the thing that both reminds us of that awareness that we've had in the day and really helps to, you know, sometimes we use the phrase insight needs experience. So it helps us, in my experience, to kind of, it's a clumsy way of talking about it, but to integrate the experience, to really fully embody it, receive it, and then it becomes that much more available to us as we go forward in our lives.
That was another thing that was said, was that about receiving, that it really is all about receiving. Yeah. Oh, I hadn't listened to that recording yet, and that's exactly one of the things.
And then just the last piece of it is, I think, you know, from what you're describing, it's why I think we were talking about it earlier in the discussion, that the coming to the place of celebration, I think it was with Penny, is so key, right? So let's say you've been here, wire cutters. You weren't present for that moment. And you got all the way back to Hermitage and, you know, late that night, you know, boy, I can go that any number of times. That if we can celebrate the moment we hear it, and go and do it with that sense of celebration. And we're doing this because, well, for me, because of the love. Because I love this person, and I don't want her to be left in a conversation of, I don't feel like doing that, I don't want to do it, it's not fair, it's this, it's that. Doing it because we love the wire cutters, doing it because we love that process, doing it because we love being trained in that way. You know, if we can come to that place of celebration whenever we wake up to it, boy, it busts the condition process wide open.
Yeah.
So
we'll
consider
it circles
again. Yeah, exactly.
World, so we're doing it.
Sherry.
What I really appreciated about that whole thing, I mean, I appreciated a lot about it, but when you pointed out wire cutters, it's just this neutral.
Yes.
You know that it'll just attack them. and it's such a clue for us.
It is.
Of what we're listening to.
Yeah.
Because it's not saying, you forgot the wire cutters. Now, if you go get them now, then you only have to get them later, and it'll be...
it'll be faster if I... Well, but let me think of...
Yes. Yeah. And then you don't even notice. it just be one of those tool things? But just it's wire cutters.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're there, you know everything about it, including all that you folks laid out.
Yeah.
We are completely taken care of.
Yeah.
The intelligence animating is right there. Mm-hmm. We leave, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? And the whole trick of practice is to be there to hear it.
Yes.
And to realize any conversation we're listening to is not the one we want to be in. Because the conversation that we want to be in says, wire cutters. And then there's a whole lot of silence around that. You want to go get the wire cutters. Right? And you can express your gratitude and be ecstatic and make recordings all the way back to Gibb and whatever. The other information is coming from.
There's just so much in it, isn't there? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's why communication is such an amazing topic for awareness practice, right?
Yeah.
Because conditioning is talking to us in a conversation, a long, drawn-out, I mean, our entire karma is laid out in the conversation that we live in.
Rationalizing, explaining, cajoling, convincing, and punishing.
Right. But life is speaking to us, I guess, in the present, you know, just through wire cutters.
And you don't need anything else in that moment.
No.
It's not flashing in a big explanation about how life works, and although we get those right in the same way, where suddenly just this insight draws in, it doesn't even have words, and it changes everything about how we view life.
Yeah.
Now then, of course, we usually come to do,
from now on.
And we can even stay in our excitement that's what the Buddha meant when, and then what Jesus said, we can do that, kind of wear ourselves out, or we can go down the, really making it about me. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Nope.
There's no harm in any of it.
Nope.
It's just to realize it's what we're doing is for us.
Yeah.
Right? It's the receiving the merit of that good act.
Yeah.
Right? And training ourselves to be present in that way. And let it all go. It was the biggest insight in the world. And you just saw what St. John of the Cross meant. And you just go, thanks.
I mean, that is just everything right there, isn't it? That, to me, that's restraint and religious observances.
Yeah.
Because to realize that, I mean, the glory of the present moment. Oh, it's the glory of the present moment. And that's what we receive when we're here in the present moment. And then what we're trained to do, what we're conditioned to do, is to leave the present moment to hang on to that. And to finally get to a place, after much proving to ourselves that it's actually our only option, no matter how full big the insight is, that staying here is the only place we receive. So we stay here no matter what. No matter what the labels are being put, this is so great, this is so terrible, I love this, I hate this, we just stay here. And to a deeper and deeper and deeper level, we just receive so much in that. Yeah.
And find the true meaning of twinkle.
Yeah, I can feel it as you're talking. Thank you. We have 2 minutes. Do you have a 2-minute wrap?
No.
You'll hold on to it for next time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks. I think this is 2 minutes. When I was looking at with that wire cutters, is the right response is charm.
The synthetic, the what response?
The response is charm. Another is phew. Another is wow.
Yeah. that's a beautiful picture of the valley right there, isn't it?
It's all the difference.
Darn. Wow. That's going to be meaningful on the recording right now. So the one side of the duality is the darn. The other side of the duality is the whew, thank goodness.
That's true, I didn't get caught.
You, I didn't get caught. Yeah, I guess we could each put in whatever. It depends, right, on our whatever we deal with, our conditions, the condition system that all of us are in, and then that middle site is just wow, yeah, that Rebecca was describing. Yeah. Thank you all.